WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
This is Booker T, five-time WCW champ.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll and the very first undisputed champion in WWE history. And you are listening to WTR Sunday Night.
Bunch of losers begging for autographs at $15 a pop.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Explain as you would a child.
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
Bravo. This is a moment I will treasure. Explain to him who you all really are.
With the host, inside.
At every turn, you demonstrate the necessity for your extermination.
The Omega.
Maybe I should get some pants on.
Heartbreak Mike.
I'm just jealous about being on the show.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Perhaps I'm not as stupid as I am ugly.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Stop, I actually thought you were smart for a second.
And on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
Can you do that?
Oh, yeah, it's just point and click.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Sal.
Hello out there, this is the very boring Jay Lethal.
WTR Sunday Night.
What a freak show, man. Oh, this is hilarious.
Welcome again to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We just wrapped up WWE Survivor Series, Raw versus SmackDown.
Did you know it's the only night in a year where Raw and SmackDown go head-to-head in competition?
Except for all the other times that they lock up with each other.
But did you know it's the one night in the year where Raw and SmackDown go head-to-head in competition? Because if you played the drinking game where any time they said, when Raw and SmackDown go head-to-head,
you'd be drunk.
You'd be drunk by the first hour of the free show. Even Sean knew it. Anyway, continue, Omega.
All right, so for our recap of Survivor Series, we have, of course, myself. I am the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the WTR Network. Joining me tonight, we do not have a Heartbreak Mike. Needed the night off, so we're giving him the night off. I assume that means we have our producer, Sir Rockin.
Yep, here. Third show, 24 hours. Let's do the thing.
And, of course, the team captain. That wasn't the thing we voted on, unfortunately. The one and only Tim Stein.
Yeah, well, when you pay the bills, you get to be in charge, right?
I could make a comment, but I don't want it clipped, so I'm not going to make the comment.
Yeah.
Anyway,
good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Survivor Series edition of WTR Sunday Night. Now, this is going to be a lot of fun because I missed the entire pre-show thanks to work. And so, Rock, take it from here.
Okay, so you read my notes on the pre-show. So, we had...
Shit happened, shit went down, I don't feel like scrolling up.
So, Matt Hardy versus Elias. Why? Because the 50 people in the building needed some wrestling.
Poor Hardys to wrestle in front of... Well, no, you're used to wrestling in front of small crowds. Never mind.
There were only 50 people in the building at the time?
It's not a lot. Maybe not 50, but not a lot.
Wow. That's all I got.
No, I'm going to confess I didn't get to see the pre-show either.
What were you doing? I have an excuse. I had to be at work.
No, I was taking care of family matters.
Okay. I thought that show was, like, canceled years ago.
I was going to say, I don't mean that I'm marathoning the Urkel show.
But you could. But you could.
Did
you
I could. Need that?
You need to be more high-pitched and nasally for doing that.
Yeah, I can't do that. I'm congested still.
I just saw a skit somebody did for YouTube where the actor for Carl still thought he was Carl and was still out looking for Urkel.
Nice. So yeah, Matt Hardy versus Elias. Matt Hardy sold a shoulder injury. He got drifted away. Elias won. Matt Hardy's been deleted.
Yeah, have fun. This is going to be your role until A, we can get your broken gimmick, or B, your brother gets healed again.
Apparently they're getting closer. Whatever.
Both of them, I think, actually.
Yeah, both of them. Cruiserweight title was Enzo Amore and Kalisto. Enzo came out dressed like a MMA boxer type thing with a robe and everything.
Reportedly, it was a good thing I missed this one.
Yeah, it was awful.
I saw a gif of Kalisto attempting to do his entrance and then just getting hung up.
So on my notes goes, Kalisto got stuck on his jump into the ring.
Yeah. Elaborate on that, would you?
He hit the top rope like you would throwing a wet towel onto a clothesline. It was really bad.
That's the best way to describe it. As I quickly try to Google search it to get Tim the
yeah, I need the visual.
The visual of it.
You might not need to Google. Let's see. Where's Botchamania's Twitter?
That's what I did. I searched his Botchamania.
He's Googling Twitter. Botchamania.
Yeah, he posted a clip of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, here. There you go, Tim. Go watch that really quickly.
Okay. I'm going to have to put it on mute so you guys don't pick it up.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Uh-huh.
So for those, he's going to do the jump, and he just gets caught.
On the one hand, if he's trying to frog splash the top rope, it's perfect.
That's not what he's doing.
Oops.
At least half the only half the audience saw that because it was, you know,
not, half empty.
Yeah, half empty.
Yeah, thankfully for Kalisto,
he did not embarrass himself in front of everybody.
Just everybody that was there.
But yeah, but it's also on the internet forever.
Yep. So yes. Enzo retained his title. No one was shocked by that. We had Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn take on Breezango, because we needed to get Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn on the show. They talked trash. Then the Fashion Police came out, and they were giving out their tickets. They said it's violation time. We had a generic tag match that you would see on any SmackDown, and Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn won. No one should be surprised by anything that I just said.
No.
Now let's get into the main show that I think we saw majority of.
Yeah, I'm good here.
Okay, so it's opening it up. It's the New Day versus The Shield. Thoughts, Omega?
It's kind of... I was kind of taken aback this was the start off.
I wasn't.
I mean, it's a hot match to start the pay-per-view, but that's also a really huge match to open a pay-per-view.
In most cases, I'll agree with you, but because this was Survivor Series, and they had a whole bunch of nostalgia that they absolutely had to ram down everybody's throat. We'll get to it, kids. Hang on.
It's a movement of some kind that has three letters.
Shut up!
No.
Like I said, shut up!
It's going to be a fun show, everybody. Just buckle up.
It wind up being a pretty short show.
Anyway, continue. So, yeah, they opened up. It was the right choice, because you look up and down the lineup, the women aren't going to open up the show. And if you look throughout the New Day's history, they usually, when New Day was really popular, they were the openers of the show because they got the crowd into it. And that's what we saw here. It took like 15 minutes before we actually got some action between video packages and promos and whatever.
You know, a lot of video packages and promos tonight.
That's okay though. It filled out the show.
Yeah, they had 4 hours. What else are they supposed to do? Wrestle?
And for
give the Raw versus SmackDown women's a little bit more time.
Yeah, women getting screwed over on the clock is something of a theme this weekend.
If you want to know what he's talking about, go listen to the Rack Extra NXT Takeover War Games Edition, now available at Rack Radio Show and WildTalkRadio.com. So, I thought this match started out really slow, and it was sort of a match that was just there. My brain goes back to the older Wyatt versus Shield versus Brian and Kane and insert partner here, and how great those matches were. And the start of this match, the first, I don't know, 7, 8, 10 minutes, whatever it was, it just felt really slow and really just there. It wasn't anything impressive.
Yeah, it was just slow build up.
But then they went at it and they sort of took over, and we had finisher after finisher and tag team move after tag team move, and we're just going to try to create a wild brawl. And I love that the fact that Michael Cole was like, the New Day, if it comes to brawling, the New Day is better than the Shield. It's like, really?
What? Michael Cole?
Really?
No.
Michael Cole.
I'm sorry. What? No. What,
Michael Cole? Michael Cole, you're an idiot. Always have been.
The old hashtag was hashtag Michael Cole is a moron, if anyone remembers that one.
Moronicole. That works.
Mm-hmm. The closing moments where we had big finishes that I mentioned. The best part was, like, Roman's going really strong and continues to get booed, and there was, early in the match was when Big E and Roman were going back and forth, and they were chanting, "You still suck," at Roman Reigns. It's like, this shield thing is totally putting him over as a
baby face.
It's working out. Another interception. Hot damn.
Well, you know, the one thing about this match is it delivered what the fans wanted.
Oh, it did. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. It was entertaining. It was good. It had, it had the spots you were expecting, especially the finisher. Thanks very much, Shield, for the triple powerbomb.
It turned into a wild brawl. We had a New Day stop the triple powerbomb at one time. They started hitting their own finishers. We had a double midnight hour.
That was good.
We had Kofi doing leapfrog over Big E and Xavier Woods, which was different. Kofi took an awkward spear from Roman Reigns. It's the best way to put it. Then it turned into a six-way brawl in the ring, and then we had the super shield bomb from the top rope. Your winners, the Shield.
Yay! Except for Roman.
Boo!
That was the fans' reaction. Yay! Oh, wait, Roman.
Boo.
Yay! Oh, wait, Roman. And on,
and et cetera, yeah. Et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Yay! Wait a minute. Yay! Wait a minute. Yay! Wait a minute.
It was nice of Seth and Dean to support the red brand with half shirts. Roman was like, nope, not going to do it.
Yeah, I paid a lot to get a new flak jacket made. I'm going to use it.
Yeah, I like the half shirts. It's just too bad. Oh, well, I don't care. Whatever.
It's better than someone later that night who couldn't be asked to even wear blue.
He was blue for 8 months. And then it's Christmas time, but had blue in it. That counts. He was also wearing blue jeans, so that counts.
People are wondering what the hell you're talking about.
We'll get there.
We'll get there, kids. Hang on.
We'll get there. So it was a good opener.
No, it was a really, really good opener. It was satisfying. That's such a weird way of describing a pay-per-view wrestling match, but it was a satisfying match. It was. It satisfied what I was hoping for. It fulfilled the desire.
You're just digging that hole deeper.
I'm just trying to, turn it into a moat.
Well, we got plenty of time for that.
Make it an island.
We're still after you for one of those.
Shut up.
It is in the CB Radio Greatest Moments, Greater Than Great Debate, coming up on December 2nd.
No freaking way.
It's on there. It's one of the moments. One of 128. Ouch. Up there with the Tim Roast.
Ouch.
So, Stephanie was backstage. She was motivating Team Raw women. Because, she's really tall. They're really short. That dynamic. At least she's not as short as Zelina Vega, because she's...
Oh, my God.
She's tiny.
She is.
Itty-weedy bitty.
So, that led to Women's Survivor Series Team Raw versus Team SmackDown Live. With Natty on the Team SmackDown because she lost her title. Omega goes sad face because he lost points there. This was good. Could have used a few more minutes, but this was good. What do you guys think?
I keep fucking over Bayley. It's all I'm saying in my head.
And Becky Lynch.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm okay with them getting rid of Becky early because she didn't have to get eliminated by the Asuka train later.
I suppose so. I wouldn't have been upset to see Tamina have been the first one eliminated, but that's just me.
I'm there with you.
Okay.
I'm there with you on the Tamina
side. So it's not just me, it's others. But basically with this match, when it came down to Natty versus Asuka, anybody who's like a pure wrestling fan should have been champing at the bit, should have been drooling for these two. And this is where my disappointment came in. The reason they took the belt off Natty and put it on Charlotte is because they needed Natalya in this match. Because Natalya is the one to get everybody else over. She is, looked upon to do that. And she's absolutely incredible at it. And the fact that the end of the match came so quickly when it could have been just a real knockdown dragout. Again, you know, the pay-per-view ended 15 minutes before the top of the hour. They could have given them another 5 minutes to do stuff. You stop, you think about it, Japanese wrestling is strong style. And people who were trained in the Heart Dungeon were trained a hybrid style of professional wrestling that encompasses many, many different, like, if you were to say Stampede Wrestling, the original, like the training in the dungeon, if you were to say that was a martial arts innovator, then it would have been Bruce Lee because of the, and that, I hope people understand what I'm saying there. It's just, it encompasses so many different forms and styles. And with that very strong base in the Japanese strong style that Stampede Wrestling had, mm-hmm. Natty versus Asuka should have been, I mean, like, shit, you know what? Put on a pay-per-view or a house show and put Natty and Asuka on the card against each other. Shut up and take my money.
It'll be something we get to down the line, hopefully, before Natty retires.
Which is going to happen in a few years.
Yeah, probably.
But yeah, definitely. That was the disappointment in this whole thing. And this is me nitpicking. I understand that, and I cop to it. I admit it. I'm nitpicking right now. But it was just, on a personal level, a bit of a letdown that they weren't given a little more time after everybody else was eliminated.
What was the match? It was the 5-way, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Like a couple months ago, when it came down, when they did a bunch of eliminations, and it was down to Charlotte and Natty, and they only went like 3 minutes, and you wanted more from that, too?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be the thing.
Well, here's the thing, and again, I'm going to come across as a Heart fanatic, because I know them and everything else like that, but it's, pretend I'm not a native Calgarian from, you know, wrestling's Mecca, as Undertaker described it. It's Natalya, for Christ's sakes. Women's wrestling, there is no other female on the roster on either Raw or SmackDown who is as versed in all aspects of professional wrestling as Natalya. And she, again, you know, like she could get a mop over. She could get a broom over. She could get an invisible ghost over in that ring. Get it? Making sense?
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Right? And the fact that they feel so strongly towards Natalya to because this is a hell of an honor for a professional wrestler to be told, okay, you got to go out there and make everybody else that we have on that roster actually look like they're good. I'm like, whoa, you know, all this is on her shoulders, but she's able to carry it without having a hunchback because she's that damn good. She makes everybody look like a superstar. Now, when you get somebody of Asuka's character and somebody of Natty's character in the ring against each other, you want 20 minutes of that easily, if not more. Like on the indie scene, you'd watch like a 30 to 45 minute match, no problem at all. Of course, that's the indie scene. Basically, Natty in the ring with just about anybody is worth giving them as much time as you can squeeze out to give them. And yeah, you know, like Natty Charlotte, when it was that 5-way elimination, I was disappointed because it was just a couple of minutes of the two of them. And then, you know, Charlotte wins or whatever, or Natty wins or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just not enough. And I'm speaking from somebody who appreciates the talent, not as somebody who's a friend of Natalya, even though I am.
My biggest problem with the match was how they handled Nia Jax.
Oh, my God. They went with the Big Show finish for Nia, and I hate when they do that. It's like the only way they know how to get rid of the big person in the match is to count them out.
Because let's not pin Nia, so we got to do a convoluted count out.
Yeah, you know.
If you're not gonna have her run roughshod over a portion of the match and actually put on a good showing, at the very least, make it like everyone has to hit like 3-4 finisher. You know, like everyone comes in, hits their finisher on her in a row. At least make it look like it took a ton to put her down.
And then pin her.
Yeah, because getting her counted out like that just makes her look. Frankly, it's a good way to make your performer look stupid.
Well, it doesn't make her look weak, but here it is. Again, in today's day and age, I disagree with the old school viewpoint that the person you want to look as a strong superstar can't lose by normal means. I don't believe that anymore.
She's lost.
It's harder to believe anymore. Let me finish making the point here. Especially with UFC. Any given night, anybody can knock anybody else out unless you're CM Punk. Yeah, I said that.
I can't wait for CM Punk versus Jack Swagger in an MMA fight down the line in 2019.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be worth it.
By the way, who will have a better MMA career, CM Punk or Jack Swagger?
If Jack gets one punch in, he's already got a better MMA career.
But to back up Tim's point,
I'm sorry, I'm just busy laughing over this link. Thank you for sending that.
Yeah. To back up Tim's point, it's not like Nia hasn't lost before. She's been beaten before.
Oh, yeah.
She's been pinned before. It's okay. They made Tamina look stronger than Nia, and Tamina doesn't do anything ever.
Yeah, and that frog splash delivered by Tamina, that was absolutely the worst. She looked like she was stuck in some kind of a cage where she didn't have enough room above her to actually get properly airborne.
It's not even a frog splash, it's just a splash.
I was pointing out one example.
I'm just saying, she doesn't even do the frog splash, she just does the super fly splash.
Mm-hmm.
She shouldn't be doing the super fly splash after having multiple knee injuries and knee surgeries. Shouldn't be doing it.
Probably not.
Just want to throw that out there. But yeah, the Nia elimination was kind of lame, and I don't know.
Lamezoid.
Also, the Alicia Fox Naomi situation, not the best. The ref count of three when the spot was supposed to be she picks her up into the submission, and Alicia's supposed to tap, and Naomi's going, "What's going on now?" That was a three. Okay.
That was sloppy.
That was really sloppy. I don't know who was on. The ref's supposed to count like it's legit, so it's not the ref's fault. I think it was the performance fault where they just didn't get to the move in time. But yeah. Then it was down to Asuka against SmackDown. Asuka against SmackDown, and Asuka dominated SmackDown, and she picked up the win.
Which, yeah, no shock.
No real shock.
It wasn't any surprise, this match, really. But at the same time, it wasn't disappointing.
No, not really.
WWE is not ready for Asuka.
Now, with her coming out looking so strong, it's like you've got to point her to the belt, right? That's sort of the direction, because she's really as strong at the moment. I feel like they're going to not point her at the belt, because they probably want to do that at Mania. But
well, right now, the smartest thing to do would have Asuka chase the belt, not hold the belt.
Well, you can't have an undefeated streak be your thing and chase the belt. If you go after the belt, then you're taking the belt.
I'll say this. The good part about her, if you want her to chase to go after the belt now and maybe do the match at Rumble, Raw does not have a pay-per-view until the Royal Rumble. So that's a bright spot in title defenses, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
So, before the internet gets mad, Brock Lesnar probably won't be around for a little bit. Are you okay, internet?
He's not going to be back till WrestleMania, man.
No, the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I know. It's just...
But, if he's not around for 6 weeks, can we not complain?
Are you kidding?
I know this, but I'm just... I have to
get it. What the hell do you think Twitter's for?
I know.
He's on my team, and I'm not complaining.
So...
If you're the champion, you should be there every day to defend the damn thing, and I don't really care. I want to see you do it every Monday night.
Shut up.
I don't know what the voice was, but Tim needs to continue to do that.
Yeah.
That should be the new character. It's the internet voice.
Yeah.
Internet man?
Internet man.
your
persona.
I don't
know, but you remember to do the voice.
I see. I think I've already lost it. That was close, but yeah. Fight Owens, fight. But yeah, the women's match, Raw versus SmackDown. I didn't hate it.
I wish we could have gotten, because I feel like with some proper build, a lot of those matchups in that could have been the way the men's went. Whereas, like, every time two new people tagged in, they went, those two are going to fight.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, I didn't get that feeling from this. No matter how much you push Divas Revolution or Women's Evolution or whatever you want to call it this week so you can print it on a shirt. No. I didn't get that feeling. I felt like I should have. I felt like Charlotte versus Asuka face to face should have been huge.
Not
Natty.
Charlotte.
Like Natty.
Natty. Yeah. And this goes back to my gripe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, every time Natty stepped into that ring, it should have been like a ooh moment.
Yeah. It should have been like Sasha Banks and Naomi should have been a ooh moment, because, you know, they've had their turns dominating on their own brands, but I don't recall them ever going against each other because they've always been Raw and SmackDown.
They were also Team Bad together.
That too. That's been a while. I totally forgot about that. Like, again, did anyone even mention that Team Bad was split up amongst this match?
No. But, you know, like part of that is I don't think that the girls have been properly trained how to create that aura, or at least help it along, like the guys. Let's skip right ahead to the men SmackDown versus Raw. You stop and you think about it, there's always that pause, and it's the looks on their faces and that sly little sort of half turn of the head to that part of the crowd or that part of the crowd. All of that little, you know, technical detail, attention to detail, selling your character, selling the hype, if you will.
The best way to describe it is
very important, and I don't really think, you know, it's not something that the average person would overtly notice.
No,
it's like subtle psychology.
There's superstars and then there's stars. The women.
And how do you
stars.
Become a superstar?
That's a good question.
By selling the hype ahead of the lockup. And this is what I'm talking about. You didn't get that, you know, like straight to Omega's point. Didn't get that feeling. Well, that's because the women weren't doing all of these subtle, technical little attention to detail things. Psychological. What is the word I'm looking for? Subliminal.
Nuance.
Subliminal. No, subliminal.
And the only one in this matchup that really did it was Nia versus Tamina, because they're billed as sort of, you know, the similar person, but when you look
at them, they're, you know, family. They even see, you know, even Cole said, hey, you know, family, they're cousins, cousin versus cousin, here it is. And those two were the exception to what I'm talking about right now, because that's exactly right. That's what they did. They stopped each other in the ring. They had words with each other. What the hell are they saying to each other? They're cousins. They're family. I want to know what they're saying. Oh, shit, just lock up already. And these two did that. But they're the only two.
Because there's no real dream match on either side. Like, Asuka and Natty, yeah, but you're really not there yet. Not really there between the two.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you just lack those dream matches because they were all together for a while and you just don't have it. And eventually you will have it. The longer you keep the women apart, the more you'll get, you know, get that. You'll get that dream moment. You'll get those dream matches. But it takes time.
Well, you know, just to further the point, Rock, what did I say to you at the main event just when all the guys were finally in the ring and Triple H and Shane are staring at each other? We're not going to get into detail because that will open up the curtain a little bit too much. But it was a case of, just wait for Triple H and Shane to face each other.
Yep, you could say that about a lot.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it all goes down to the fact that the brothers-in-law, they don't like each other in real life. There's a lot of real history there that you're just waiting to see them potato each other.
Yeah, there's history there. And then, but that was lacks in the girls' matches because majority of them are new or like have been on the main roster a year or two. And you don't have that with everyone else. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. I think we cover this one enough.
Yeah, I think maybe it's time to talk about the U.S. title holder, Miz. I'm sorry, Corbin, taking on the Intercontinental title holder, The Miz. I was expecting a very lackluster, dull, boring match.
Thank you, Bo Dallas. Thank you, Curtis Axel, for making this match somewhat entertaining.
Well, and thank you, The Miz, for actually getting a good match out of Corbin, too. It's the first time I saw Corbin actually look like you want to see what happens next.
You want to see his end of days.
Quit trying to, you know, just quit reaching for those because you're falling a couple inches short.
I thought this match was okay. I wasn't blown away.
Well, I'm not saying I was blown away. I was surprised that it was as entertaining as it was. I was not expecting it to be as good as it was. And let's face it, it was good. It wasn't like, you know, like you said, it wasn't any great shakes. It wasn't off the hook, but it was watchable and it was entertaining. And yeah, the Mr. Ice helped out a little bit. No word of a lie there. No argument.
I'll say this. I have a nitpick from it. And it's a nitpick in a lot of matches lately.
You and your nitpicking.
The idea of it, the schoolboy and the kick out of the schoolboy is to kick out, not just for someone. Alright, let's just get up. Like, the person who's on top should not just stand up. You're supposed to actually move your legs. Like, do the motion like you're actually kicking out. And these people don't do it anymore. And Corbin did this twice in this one. It's like...
That's the problem when things are as scripted as they are anymore. You know that, okay, I'm supposed to listen for the rep to bang twice and then I'm getting, like, the kickout's coming. Mm-hmm. So I'll just stand up.
And that's just awful.
And you stand up before the kickout comes.
Yeah, it's just you're going to the next spot. It's like, no, show some realism. Actually kick out. Because that, down the line, will build drama when, you know, you actually need it as a finish in a match.
Yeah, you're right. You're nitpicking.
I am. But I've seen it a lot, and it just stood out to me in this match.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. Omega?
No, I get that. I do pick up on that more often than I used to when... They're so eager to get to the next spot or to get into position for the next thing. You know, the pinfalls don't really feel like they're doing anything. It's just they treat it like not as this could end the match, but as this could almost, you know, because this could just be another move that they just chain through. And I've got a point to this once we get to the champion versus champion women's match.
Okay. So Baron Corbin wins. Yay. Pregnant Maurice was in the crowd. Yay.
Even with two cheating helpers, Miz might be turning face accidentally.
Well, ever since he started feuding with Roman Reigns, he's been slowly turning face.
Well, he's been getting over the old school way where people are just starting to appreciate how good he is at what he's doing.
Yep. Not only, I have to admit that, that the two little video promos that they threw out there that the two guys put on Twitter, I really liked Miz's video promo against Baron Corbin.
Mm-hmm.
It just, you know, you're talking about the old school ways. That felt real.
He mentioned his unborn child, so yeah, it was real.
Yeah. Like, that was the point I was going to make. It's really hard to play somebody up as a heel when he's literally rushing to protect his pregnant wife in the middle of a match.
Yeah. Now, the question is, does this mean he's going to be dropping the title anytime soon down the road?
To who?
That's the problem. Who could he drop the title to?
Who makes the most sense in your mind?
I'm having a hard time with this one. Why not give it to Joe?
That would be a step up. Because it's like, the answer is Jason Jordan, because we got to try to get him over any way possible. But it's like, no.
Yeah, I don't want Jason Jordan to be like that.
The guy wasn't even in a match, and he had some of the worst heat of the night.
I'm only laughing because it's true.
But a guy like Joe would be nice holding the belt. Give it to Braun Strowman because you're not going to give him the world title anytime soon. So let him just start tearing through people and then the guy who eventually beats him for that belt actually earns it. Because at some point, Braun's just going to be in limbo somewhere and it's coming really, really soon. Especially if they don't have anything big for him at WrestleMania. And it makes you wonder what they actually have planned for him.
Because, good question.
Because with the Rumble coming up, we know, okay, it's Braun Strowman, Royal Rumble, he'll dominate, yada, yada, yada. We know that's, you know, you can sell that. But at some point, he's just going to be in limbo, and you hope he gets featured, because he's had a hell of a year.
Now, here's the swerve. Braun Strowman's going to be in the Royal Rumble, but he's going to be eliminated ASAP by everybody else in that ring.
Sort of like last year.
Kind of.
But the build-up would be Braun's going to dominate. We know that's, you know, that would be the build.
Mm-hmm.
But we can talk about that down the line. What's next on the card, Tim?
The next one, I don't remember.
It was The Bar versus...
Oh, yeah, the tag champs versus the tag champs.
The Usos.
Yeah, two unforgettable teams facing off against each other. Did I say unforgettable?
Yeah.
Yeah, two forgettable teams.
Just four generic guys with generic looks. And no gimmicks behind them at all. They'll never grab that brass ring. Never. Good match. Lots of finishers and tag team maneuvers.
Sheamus looked like a rotary saw fell into his head.
Yeah.
Now, what is it with the white tips to his right
hair? I don't know.
It looked like he got into a fight with the cake froster.
It's like he was trying to match his Raw shirt.
Well, maybe he was.
Well, all I can say is he looked stupid.
So, he was there.
Yeah. I was going to say, see what I did there, but apparently you did.
So, my complaint about this, I thought they did too many tag team maneuvers. They were trying to overdo it, but that's just me.
Yeah, sure, we'll go with that.
I don't know. I remember a time when they kind of forget that they do tag team maneuvers, so I don't really mind it.
To me, it felt some of them seemed very forced.
Well,
and some of them could be.
It was a case of they had a certain number of spots they absolutely had to get in there, but their time was constrained.
And it felt like, in some of the spots, they could have saved as actual finishes to matches down the line that would have been really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But they blew through them. One by one. But we had a lot of super kicks. Some could say a super kick party turned
out. They did say that. I cringed.
I know. Super kick party was in effect in Houston. In a sold out building, by the way. Just, you know, for a point of reference to other ROH people who go, oh my god, WWE didn't sell out. They sold out the big show, didn't they? Yep. In the end, the Usos win.
And nobody cared.
The Usos' parents cared.
Well, are you sure? Did you talk to them? Did you interview them after the match? Did you get an up close and personal one-on-one with them?
Their kids cared.
Did you FaceTime with them?
Yes. We used AIM instant message video.
For some reason, I'm just picturing you actually doing that.
Well, now's the time to do it. It won't exist in a few more weeks.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, Usos win. After that, Jason Jordan, unhappy keeper.
Oh.
I hope Triple H gets pinned and then Team Raw wins. Oh, Jason.
So we're good.
No one wants you around. Just go away.
Come back when you have a personality.
He's white.
Go back to Chad.
There's your personality. He's white and was an Olympic wrestler. So, or a collegiate wrestler. Go find him again. He was your personality. Heel turn is coming for Jason Jordan, just so people are aware.
It's the only thing you can do with him.
And even then, it probably won't work.
I want him to have faked the whole thing.
Oh, it's true. So, this leads us to Charlotte versus Alexa Bliss. Champion versus champion. I thought this was really good.
Fun match.
Yeah, I had fun with this one.
It was predictable, but enjoyable.
They both worked really hard.
Charlotte is getting really, really good at making others look good in the ring.
It's clicking. She's
it's started, you know, like she's coming around.
Because she's what now, 5 years in?
Mm-hmm. Now, that's not to say Alexa Bliss needs that kind of help, but if you look at the size disparity between the two of them, Charlotte sold well.
Charlotte's growing as a performer. She's growing as a babyface because she's been a heel for a long time, so this is a new evolution for her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's working somewhat now. What they did on Tuesday was just awesome, having Rick show up. That was a cool moment. If you didn't see it, go watch SmackDown. Go find it on YouTube. The real emotion they showed, it actually makes her look like a true babyface with her father showing up. It's really well done. I thought the match was good, and Charlotte sold. Alexa sold as well. It was the type of match going in you didn't have much expectations for because there was really no build to it. And then they were on the pre-show, and they were really, like, trying to sell it where they really don't like each other. And they brought it to the ring, and they fought really well. And Charlotte wins. Alexa tapped out.
Mm-hmm.
It's the right finish on the right show.
I give Alexa a lot of credit because she was selling the figure eight really well.
Yeah.
It looked like it hurt like hell, and it wasn't one of those... I hate it, and I see it so much these days, and I hate to say it, but with the women especially, where they're so quick to go to the tap out. Mm-hmm. It's like they weren't even trying to stay in the match.
Mm-hmm.
Alexa felt like she was struggling to resist that tap as hard as she could.
Up until when she couldn't anymore.
Yeah.
Which is what you want. That's the perfect way to do it.
Yep. Well, on that note, I'm thinking maybe we should take our first, last, and only little time out of the evening here. Everybody listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestling Talk Radio talking Survivor Series. Don't go away. We got some more show coming your way. The rest of the pay-per-view, of course, we're going to also reveal if we ever get any
thing
paperwork from the intern. The winner of Pick'em. We'll be back right after this.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply DaBomb.com.
The Chosen One.
The journey of the Chosen One has begun in WWE 2K18. Follow his path from WWE NXT Hopeful to WWE Superstar to one day being WWE Hall of Famer. Watch the rise and fall of the Chosen One. Only at youtube.com/rackradioshow.
The Chosen One.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means... Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday nights, The Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin', as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz. This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins,
this is Kane from WWE.
The future is now when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Ladies and gentlemen, believe it tonight, I do happen to have a bit of a show plan for you. I know. You're like, what? And I know it's a bit surprising, I know, and, you know, sometimes you just gotta bear with me, though. I got what you need.
So it's I Heart Bret Hart?
We're not allowed to give a shit about that anymore, remember? He told us to fuck off.
No, he told you to fuck off. He didn't tell me to fuck off.
All up boot Bret Hart. We all know that.
He wants to get all up in Bret Hart's Kool-Aid.
Tim wants to ride the sharpshooter. Hi, Tim.
Harder, Bret, harder. I'm not feeling it yet.
Oh, that's the real screw job right there.
Tell Lindsay the fuck off was directed at her, too.
You know, Tim, if you're going to just talk to Rock, you might as well just call in and yell at us. It'll be a lot easier for you.
Would it be better if I just yelled at you all?
Yes, it would.
Hi, Tim. Motherfuckers.
Hi, Tim.
Shut your pie hole, Phoenix.
I'm sorry.
Scottsdale? Glendale? I don't care. Arizona, you fucking redneck. When I want your opinion, I'll give it to you. Until then, shut up.
What's up?
We don't want to know. If I were you, don't ask.
I think Bret Hart is what's up personally, but you know, you never know.
Join us for the 10-year celebration of your only excuse to be home on a Saturday night. TB Radio. December 2nd. Midnight-ish Eastern, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I don't care what y'all say.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network. Keep listening, because stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Welcome back, WTR, Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, talking Survivor Series. We're streaming live simultaneously on the TuneIn app. Download it for free. Search Wild Talk Radio Network. Listen to us do whatever we do any night of the week that we go live, except Tuesdays, wherever you are. And I say except Tuesdays because you have to watch because it's on the Twitch.tv on the computer screen. But, you know, you can download that to your mobile device as well and still watch it wherever you go.
Yep.
As long as you have data. Data charges may apply.
Twitch.tv/RackRadioShow. Follow and subscribe.
I was getting there.
I know, but I'm just making sure. This Tuesday night, Ultimate Survivor.
There you go. And it's basically the WTR Championship Wrestling version of Survivor Series.
Pretty much, yeah. Two Survivor Series style matches. They'll probably take an hour and a half. So, enjoy.
Yeah, and on that note, before we get back into Survivor Series, I just want to say congratulations to my football team, the Calgary Stampeders of the CFL, winning in the West Division final today by a wonderful, wonderful score of 30-something to 20-something, beating the Edmonton Eskimos and actually going into the Canadian version of the Super Bowl. We call it the Grey Cup, named after Lord Grey, who donated the cup to the Canadian Football League. So next Sunday night, you might not hear from me, and the show might actually be postponed because the Great Canadian Drunk will be taking place, is what we call the Grey Cup up here, the Great Canadian Drunk, and because my team's in it, well, you know, that's just the way it goes.
It's a holiday weekend. Tim will take it off next weekend.
But, something like that.
But since we're congratulating football teams, here, this one, this is goes out to the intern.
You're a dick. How about those Cowboys?
By the way, if, you know, according to Skip Bayless, ultimate Cowboys fans, if they had their running back and their linebacker and their left tackle, they would have handled the Eagles completely. Right, okay. Anyway, let's get back into a match, into the show, Tim.
Getting back into the show, what's the next match that took place?
The WWE Champion AJ Styles and the Universal Champion Brock Lesnar.
Fun match. I enjoyed this one. It looked like it was going to be a total squash at the outset, however.
Well, even when he's not in the match, AJ Styles still has to outdo John Cena.
So, my notes go, suplexes, lots of suplexes. Germans, belly to bellies, you name it, suplexes. And then, AJ finally hits the moves. Because that's what this was.
And AJ looked really, really good when he finally got on the offense and looked like a credible threat to Brock.
You could tell Brock Lesnar came to work. There's been a lot of matches. You could just see what they were.
Where
Brock
Lesnar, Ambrose.
Dean Ambrose. And just by watching this one, the one with Samoa Joe. This blew the Samoa Joe match out the window. Out of the water. Whatever you want to use as the expression. This was so much better because Brock Lesnar came to wrestle tonight because he knew he was in a ring with a guy who could keep up with him. And he sold a lot for AJ. He destroyed AJ because he had a little guy he could toss around, but he sold for AJ as well, which was amazing.
Yeah, even into the finish, he was still selling the calf crusher.
After
the finish, mm-hmm. When he was walking to the back, he was selling it.
You don't see Brock selling for a lot of people like that. He sold for AJ. But Brock took a lot of AJ's offense. There was a couple odd spots, like they went for a tornado DDT that sort of didn't work. But beyond that, they went at it. AJ hit everything you can imagine. He hit the springboard 450. He hit the phenomenal forearm. He had everything in his arsenal except for a Styles clash because he was not getting Brock up for that.
There was no way that was going to happen, no. But that tornado DDT, people are calling it a botch. I think it was supposed to go that way.
I don't know.
I think that was intentional. It's like, no, you're not.
Maybe. Who knows? But this was a really good fight. It went a lot longer than normal for Brock. You could see Brock was a little winded at times, but he was able to gather himself.
There's part of me that feels like they were aware this is something of a dream match, a two top-level professional wrestlers who have never had the chance to face off against each other, probably never will again.
It's like they said to each other, let's give the fans something good.
Yeah, it's not like Brock versus Cena where they know they're going to have more opportunities to have this match. This may be, in all likelihood, the one time you get to do this, so let's go ahead and make sure it's worth tuning in for.
And that was what was in the build-up. Paul Heyman said, you know, this is could be the only time these guys ever fight. This was probably the only time they'll ever fight.
And it was so good, we'll probably see it again at least once or twice before SummerSlam.
Maybe. Depends if they move it. If they move AJ back to Raw, then we could definitely see it, because Brock's not going to SmackDown. Let's be real about that one.
Yeah, that's not going to happen, even if it is live.
But they really went at it. They put on a hell of a show. In the end, you hit the phenomenal forearm, got a long two count, goes for it again, gets caught. Brock was stumbling around, selling the leg, hits the F5, and what they've been doing, no one's kicking out of the F5.
Yeah, and here's the thing that bugs me, not about the match, but about the fans. Oh, are you kidding? All of that offense by AJ onto Brock, and then one F5 and the match is over? Yeah, one F5 and the match is over. Look at the size difference between these two, first off. It's at some point in time, strength and size will eventually overcome. And Brock has strength and size. But,
I mean, that's what they've been doing with the F5 for a while now. I mean,
you don't kick out of it unless you're superhuman.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
or it's, Roman Reigns.
Or Roman Reigns coming up to WrestleMania. That's where we're going.
First, but they're protecting the finish to make it look powerful. It's something they haven't done in a long time because, hey, everyone kicks out of finishers in big matches, right? That's just what you do.
We saw it all night long. Finisher, finisher, finisher. Kick out, kick out, kick out. But they're protecting the F5 again, which is smart.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to make for a big WrestleMania moment when Roman Reigns kicks out of it. Because we all want to see that.
It was such a big deal forever. You know, the finisher. You're talking about protecting it. And then it was an absolutely huge thing the first time they ever had somebody kick out of somebody else's finisher. The crowd, it was stunned. Ooh, look at the reaction. We should do this again.
Because of the words, finisher, not signature move. Finisher. It's the end.
There's a reason why it's called a finisher. Yes, exactly. And, yeah, it just, you know, like when I was running Canadian All-Pro, that was something that we talked about all the time. And none of the boys liked the idea of everybody kicking out of everybody else's finisher because it made them look weak. And it's true. It does. And I got to tell you, seeing Jinder Mahal's promo tonight makes me glad that AJ won the title.
Can you imagine Brock Lesnar being in the ring with Jinder Mahal and how much he would have not sold for anything?
Well, no, it was just that match would not have been good.
The match would have went 5 minutes. Jinder may have got one punch in. The Singh brothers would have got tossed around. Jinder would have got a move from behind. Go for the Colossus. Brock would kick out the Colossus. Brock would get up, suplex, F5, 1, 2, 3, 5 minutes. That's what the match would have been. There was no way he would have sold for Jinder beyond that.
No. And even if he did, there's no way anybody would have believed it.
Right. It's no offense to Jinder, but AJ Styles, Jinder Mahal, different level.
That said, they got a rematch coming up on SmackDown, and we still have to go to India.
Are we doing the rematch on SmackDown?
I believe that was the challenge that got laid down.
Okay.
Because he wanted Brock to devastate him so he could pick up the pieces.
I'm rooting for AJ to win. I'm rooting for him. I want Brock to beat the living crap out of him. I want my title back.
I wasn't sure if it was going to be for SmackDown or the upcoming SmackDown pay-per-view Clash of Champions.
It might be a clash.
It may be on both. Who knows?
That's in what, 3 weeks?
December 17th, so maybe a month.
A month, 4 weeks. That's okay. Is there a Raw pay-per-view before then?
The next Raw pay-per-view is in February.
Oh, shit. So the answer is no.
The answer is no. Raw's next time on pay-per-view is the Rumble, and then they have their pay-per-view in February. So Raw's going to be off for pay-per-view for a while. Like I said, that's why we won't see Brock for a bit. Yeah, so Brock wins. It's now 3-3. Raw versus SmackDown. Bragging rights on the line. It's time for your main event. Men of Raw versus the Men of SmackDown.
Oh my god.
So, Team Raw is Kurt Angle, Braun Strowman, Finn Balor, Samoa Joe, and Triple H. Team SmackDown is Shane McMahon, Randy Orton, Bobby Roode, Shinsuke Nakamura, and John Cena.
Okay, question for the both of you. What's the one thing that pissed you off the most about this match?
I wasn't pissed off at all about this match.
Omega, do you have anything?
I could take grievances with the finish, but I also see all of the reasons why they did it.
Mm-hmm.
Tim, is it because Shinsuke was gone early?
You know, I'm a fan of Shinsuke. Well, who isn't a fan of Shinsuke, right? The problem is they got caught up in history. So much history in that ring for this main event that they got caught up in the nostalgia. And the longest time that any two competitors had against each other were Cena and Angle. And, you know, fine, give me another Cena-Angle match up when it's Cena versus Angle. Not when it's Raw versus SmackDown Survivor Series. Angle, of course, he's obviously showing his age a little bit. He's a little slower than he used to be. Still looked really good. Still took the hard bumps, you know, like props to Kurt for all of that. You got guys like Finn Balor, Samoa Joe, Bobby Roode, Shinsuke Nakamura. And who am I missing? Right? Who are the up-and-comers?
You just named a bunch of 37-year-olds calling them up-and-comers.
Yeah, I know, but still, for Raw
and
or for WWE, they're the up-and-comers.
Uh-huh. Right?
For WWE. I mean, I think the youngest one there would be Balor. Right? But
easily.
These are the near future, the immediate future of Raw and SmackDown. And they're the first ones eliminated.
The youngest people on SmackDown's team were 37-year-old Randy Orton and 37-year-old Shinsuke Nakamura. Just so people are aware.
Yeah, but you get my point.
Oh, I get your point.
Yeah.
That said, as I wrote it in my notes, Finn versus Shin, holy. Triple H versus Shin, holy. Triple H versus Bobby. Kurt Angle versus Bobby Roode, holy.
Well, Angle versus Bobby, we've surely seen.
Yeah, we've seen it, but it was like, ooh, it's now happening on a bigger stage.
Like, Triple H versus Bobby. That was like, oh, I wanted that to go longer.
Yeah, I'll disagree with you about Kurt versus Cena, Tim. It felt like it was more Triple H and Bobby Roode went longer.
Really? I didn't get that feeling. Maybe it's because it's Triple H and Bobby, and it's the first time ever.
Right, and they were in a lot longer. They did more. At least it felt that way.
It just felt quicker.
Because it was early on. You know, yeah, towards maybe. The end, it's like, okay, you know, this is what's left. But early on, they were really going at it. The taunting back and forth between Bobby and Hunter was tremendous. The Finn and Shinsuke stuff was like, ha-ha, you can't touch me. Ha-ha, you can't touch me. Ha-ha-ha-ha. Just going back and forth, teasing one another, trying to do moves, and the other one counters it, because they know each other so well. And this goes back to what we talked about before. There's your star power thing, there's your...
One thing that did make me chuckle, the Wolfpack shot to the head from Finn on to Shinsuke. I chuckled. I literally chuckled when he did that.
But
like, I LOL'd.
Yeah, but as you were talking about, these guys, they took their moments, they listened to the crowd, they build up to them touching.
Mm-hmm.
And it made for special moments because there's some dream matches here going, which was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just little touches of what could be.
And, oh, wait till this happens because it's going to just
give it time. Give it time.
Yeah.
But
and yeah, no, you're right. This is exactly what I was talking about near the beginning of the webcast.
But you say they were caught up on nostalgia and everything. But if you look at how everything played out, Shinsuke Nakamura was eliminated by who, Tim?
Oh, don't be doing that to me.
Braun Strowman. Here's another case. Who was Bobby Roode eliminated by, Tim?
Oh, don't do that to me.
Braun Strowman. He was the one dominating this match for a good while, if you think about it. So he got out of the young up-and-comers. He was put in a position to shine.
And isn't Braun actually physically the youngest guy on either team?
Maybe.
He might be?
He might be.
I think he is.
Someone needs to Google that really quickly, Omega.
Huh?
Google Braun Strowman's age.
Oh, yeah.
I heard typing. I forget what you were doing.
No. As usual, I'm in the middle of 1,000 things. 34.
So he's not the youngest. Okay. God, there's no one really young in this match. Finn Balor is the youngest man in this match. And he's not. He's not a spring chicken either.
To be fair, it's. 40's not the threshold it used to be in WWE.
Oh, no.
40's not the threshold it used to be in anything.
Yeah, the stars are in way better condition. They take care of themselves better. They eat better. They have DDP.
Yes, I do. Thank you, chat room, for coming to my aid as well with 34 age. But then, after Braun eliminated Shinsuke and Bobby and Shinsuke said, hey, we're not ready to leave just yet. Because what we're going to do, we're going to help the rest of SmackDown put Braun Strowman through an announce table. Because why not? So they took him out of the match for a while. Which is smart booking.
This is what it's what you do with Braun.
It's what you do with the biggest guy going that you're selling as a monster among men. Yeah.
Balor's 36, Joe's 38, so Braun is... So Braun might be.
At 34 years old, the spring chicken of the match.
Oh, Lord. So they got rid of him, which is the smart booking.
Mm-hmm.
Then Samoa Jones and Balor didn't get along.
Oh, there's a surprise.
I think we know what our next program for Raw is, Finn and Joe, which is fine by me.
I won't complain.
Won't complain one bit.
And anybody who does complain needs a shot in the nets.
John Cena comes back. It's two AAs on Samoa Joe, one on Finn Balor. Samoa Joe is eliminated. Cena then was eliminated by Kurt Angle. It was cool to see them in the ring together.
Oh, I'm not going to deny that.
Kind of wondering what Angle did to his leg because he was all taped up. Kind of weird.
Yeah, I was trying to think if he was... I was trying to think if he was selling anything for one of the Rays, but he wasn't hurt during any of them.
Maybe it's just precaution, hopefully.
Yeah, maybe. It seemed fine.
It might be a case of it's just at this point in time in his life he needs to tape something up. That's all.
Or he got a really awful tattoo that they don't want to put on TV.
Or he tweaked something while they were practicing for the match.
Or he really liked that old one-leg thing that Zack Ryder used to wear.
I just couldn't get the full thing made in time. Yeah. Then Finn was eliminated by Randy Orton with an RKO out of nowhere.
Out of where?
Out of nowhere.
Where?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Shane's about to get tagged in, but his two best friends, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, decided to show up, and they attack Shane McMahon, but underdog Shane O'Mac is ready and able to fight back with a steel chair.
Skermack.
And he just laid into Sammy.
Oh, that one shot that Sammy took on the back after they laid out Kevin Owens. That one?
Yeah.
That one literally hurt.
You guys are still on the
edge of the chair.
But you guys are still in the doghouse. You have to stay for whatever I'm about to do to you.
Yeah, no shit.
So.
But that one legit caught him.
Yeah. So they get, I think. Somewhere, Orton hit an RKO on Kevin, and that got rid of Kevin and Sammy.
Yep.
So, Shane's back in... Randy's legal. Kurt is legal. They're about to go at it. Kurt backs up into his own corner, and Braun Strowman pops him on the head to tag himself in. It's like, pop! I'm going in.
Just palmed his skull.
Pretty much. Braun then eliminates Randy Orton. So it's Shane McMahon versus the world. And he takes his time. He's taking his time to get in the ring. It's like, oh, crap. Oh, crap.
I'm trying to remember who's off SmackDown who could actually make a run in and actually even this out.
There's, like, no one.
It's like, I'm not going to hear a gong, am I?
No, they were in Houston. It's not that far from Austin that he could have drove in for the show.
It's good. Like when you see that, when it's 3-on-1 and Shane's the only one left, you know there's a twist.
There always is a twist.
You're expecting a twist. Well, we're not going to disappoint you.
So, Triple H...
Well, that depends on perspective.
Yeah, so...
Well, yeah, true.
So, Triple H tags himself in, and this is the moment we've all been waiting for. Triple H and Shane McMahon to duke it out in the middle of the ring.
And I'm just expecting these two to actually just give each other a black eye, just because of their history.
I'm sorry, Steph. I didn't know that would have broken his neck.
And then Kurt tags himself in, and we all go, boo. Like, damn it.
Fuck you, Kurt.
We want to see a thing. It's great it's Kurt Angle versus Shane McMahon all these years later, but damn it, Triple H and Shane McMahon. So they fight. Kurt has him in the ankle lock. Shane is fighting it the best he can. He's fighting it off.
And Kurt is not letting go.
He is not letting go. And then the game interferes. He pedigrees Kurt Angle. And then he's standing by Shane McMahon, and he's like looking right at him. It's like, okay, this is what's going down now.
I got swerved. I admit it.
Shane and Hunter are looking at each other like, okay, family. It's all about family. Family rules everything, right? Right?
No.
Nope.
I got swerved. Did you?
Nope.
No.
Liars.
No. Like, I don't. I. One thing I would hold true is that these two are not going to book something where they actually get along.
Because let's face it, Triple H is not going to defect SmackDown and not be with Stephanie McMahon on Raw. Let's be real.
Well, you know, Triple H will do something that you know, if it's money, he'll do it. And of course, Shane McMahon is a McMahon.
So
if it's business, they'll do business.
They'll do business. But before all that, Triple H puts Shane on Kurt. Kurt is gone. And then...
The stare down
happened. The kick to the midsection. The pedigree. 1, 2, 3. Triple H wins for Team Monday Night Raw. The Triple H movement full effect.
Shut it.
At Survivor Series. Then... The game celebrates his glorious Triple H movement. Braun is very confused.
Stop saying that.
Shut your jizz trap.
He's celebrating. Braun is confused. Triple H is like, yeah, this is the plan all along, right? Cool, we got it, right? We did it. We did the thing. Cool. Then Braun chokes the crap out of Hunter in a corner, warns him never to do that again.
Triple H immediately does it again.
He goes for the pedigree.
And they instantly make Braun a monster face.
Braun lays out the game, not once, but twice. So in the end, the vet got the win, but the up-and-comer was the last man standing.
I mean, it's the most, like, the Survivor Series thing for Triple H for the last week has basically been the most Triple H thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
Because he squashed a young talent in order to get into the main event. Sorry, Jason.
No one cried tears on that one.
Hashtag sorry, not sorry.
He booked it so he's the big winner of the match. But along the way, he got out wrestled by Nakamura. He got out wrestled by Rude, and in the end, he put over Strowman big. This is like this. It's almost like everything. Everything we've always accused Triple H of, and then everything we know that he does for the younger talent, all kind of rolled into the same event.
Everything we know that he does for the younger talent, but refuse to admit because we all love to bash on him holding people down. And I don't mean we, like us three. I'm talking about we being, you know, like the internet wrestling fans on Twitter or whatever.
So. Enjoyable show. It did not go past the 4-hour time limit for Survivor Series.
I'm surprised that they shut it down 15 minutes before the top of the hour. And that was the other thing that wound up, you know, being my nitpick after the fact. They could have given a couple matches 5 minutes more.
They could have, but I'm glad
it would have been even better.
But I'm glad it ended before 11.
Yeah.
There you go.
Let's be real.
Well, it didn't matter to me too much because I'm not in the Eastern time zone, but yeah.
But yeah, that's a lot of damn wrestling.
It is.
Like pre-show included.
That's what I mean. It's like, okay, good. Before 11 is perfect. So, there you go.
That's Survivor Series, kids.
Who won Pick'em, Tim?
I did. I always win Pick'em.
Who else?
It doesn't matter what happens. I'm always winner. Congratulations going out to people.
Do you not have the thing?
I do have the thing, but I accidentally clicked on something and the thing went away, but I got it back.
Triple H-ing it to hell right now.
Yeah, there you go. Tied in first place with 6 right and 2 wrong would be Omega, Rock, Lindsay, Matt, Tommy C, Chris P, Sheila, and Josh. Starscream Josh.
So just a wee bit predictable for some people.
Yeah. Tied in 9th place would be Tim Subway. That would be me. Me, Subway, Amy, and Michael, 5-3. Batting 500, tied 4-4 at 13 would be the random thing picker, Rob, and Lone Jobber. Our very own Heartbreak Mike, all alone in 16th place, getting 3 right and 5 wrong. And the Magic 8-Ball isn't so magic, only got 2 right, 6 wrong.
Intern, you're a slacker. There was video game picks. Slacker.
Waiting to see what the intern says about
that. He's going to tell me to fuck off. But.
Well, as he should.
Yeah, I know. But there you go. So there's Pick'em. Well done, everybody.
Congratulations to everybody. No prize this time around, but don't worry. You never know when we're going to have something for you out there to win. It happens.
Once in a blue moon.
Blue moon.
It happens.
You stand me standing alone. Sorry.
We've got him crooning now.
That's our show.
Are we done?
We're done.
Oh, well, in that case, don't forget tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, the Raw Post Show. Tune in at 11:10 Eastern, 9:10 Mountain to find out what the fallout was on Monday Night Raw from Survivor Series. Tuesday night at 9:30 Mountain, 11:30 Eastern. I do believe that's correct. It's another case of WTR. What did we call that? World Championship Wrestling?
Championship Professional Wrestling, 11:15 p.m. Eastern.
You know, I came up with a name. You'd think I was, I'd remember what the hell we called it. I came up with a damn name. Yeah, it's our version of Survivor Series. What did you call it? Survivor?
Ultimate Survivor.
That's it, the Ultimate Survivor. And, of course, I will win because, you know, my character is awesome.
So you want to become the Triple H of WTRSM?
Stop that! Stop that now!
Not while I'm holding the belt, he won't.
Ooh.
Them fighting words. I think I'm going to have to like challenge you to a match or something for your title there, Omega. You never know. In WTR Sims, it could happen.
And spoiler alert, these two men are on the same side this Tuesday.
Woohoo! We're on the same team for a change.
Okay, because that never happens.
Never, ever happens.
Ever, ever, ever. That's right.
Twitch.tv/RackRadioShow.
There you go. Thursday night, speaking about Rack Radio Show, it's another edition of the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rack with your hosts, Lindsay Ward and Joe Producer, Handyman, Journeyman, Everyman, Sorokin.
We're not live Thursday because there's a holiday. But you
oh, that's right. It's American Turkey Day, the day where you celebrate stealing land from the indigenous.
Well, we celebrate the genocide of the native people by committing genocide to the turkey population.
That's pretty much what I was referring to. See, the main difference between Canadian Thanksgiving and American Thanksgiving, aside from the fact that they're a month and a half apart, Canadian Thanksgiving celebrates the fall harvest.
That being said, you can check out The Rack. Gobble, gobble, wobble, wobble. Thanksgiving Spectacular available on Thursday, which will have our Survivor Series review in it, plus a little SmackDown. It's The Rack Thursday nights, usually 10 p.m. Eastern. You can check out The Rack Extra NXT TakeOver War Games featuring myself, Lindsay, and TJ Omega. Available now at WildTalkRadio.com and RockRadioShow.com. You can follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Stitcher, iTunes, Tumblr, Instagram, anywhere. Rack Radio Show. It's all about the
And, of course, on Saturday Night Midnight, as close as they get to it, it's another edition of the Wild, Wacky, and the Unusual. The how did Sub overcome the overdose of tryptophan from all the turkey on Thursday? CB Radio.
So you remember way back in the day, Tim, that we used to play a commercial where Rob would talk about a certain blue object.
A certain blue object?
Yes.
No.
The blue dildo.
Oh, shit, you had to remind me.
This Saturday night on The Greater Than Great Debate, we're doing sex toys.
All-time greatest sex toy?
Yep.
Well, I'm going to have to send a text message out to somebody. I know she's going to want to tune in to see how wrong you get it.
So, tune in Saturday night, midnight-ish, for CB Radio's Greater Than Great Debate sex toy edition as we are 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks away from CB Radio 10 on December 2nd. CB Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter, and .com. Hashtag blame Rob when a celebrity dies.
There you go. Yeah. And next Sunday night, do you guys feel like doing an episode of WTR Sunday Night without me?
We'll be back in 2 weeks. 10 p.m.
Yeah. Follow me on the Twitter machines at Flames Forums if you haven't done so already. Goddamn, do it. Don't be a lazy bastard. I have fun on Twitter. And I tweet sports. I tweet wrestling. I tweet politics. I tweet a whole bunch of nonsense. And I throw up a lot of really fun animated GIFs. So follow me because I also talk about food. Food rules. Follow Wild Talk Radio at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, Russell Talk Radio at WTR Sunday Night on Twitter. Check out our Facebook pages, facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, facebook.com/WTR Sunday Night. He's not here, so I will plug his Twitter forum. We're talking about a heartbreak, Mike. At WTR Oreo?
The WTR Oreo.
The WTR Oreo. And he does some shit on Facebook, too, about wrestling, but I can't remember what that is.
It changes every week.
Every week it does, doesn't it?
And yeah. It should, like, if you're going to plug something, you should probably give something in, like, a URL to locate. Anyway.
Yeah, well, like you said, it changes every week, so I don't know what it is. I think I'm done plugging. Hey, Omega, don't you do shit on the interwebs? Like, I don't know if you ever have time or anything, but you should.
I'm thinking about it. Yeah, I'm thinking about getting into a few things. So if you want to see,
if you were on Twitter, what would your Twitter handle be?
It'd probably I don't know. Someone mentioned TJ Omega earlier. That sounds like a good one.
Yeah. Hey, what? You know what? Get on Facebook. I bet you can't do TJ Omega on Facebook.
You know, it's a different beast over there. I might have to go like TJ Reviews. I'm thinking of reviewing things.
You should do that. Like, as soon as we're done with the webcast, go over to Facebook and do that before somebody steals it from you.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what about other things? You ever think of that?
Well, I was probably going to put TJ Omega over on Tumblr, where I thought it'd be fun to post things around. And I'm thinking the bulk of everything I do will either be on TJ Omega on YouTube or TJOmega.net if YouTube doesn't let me do it.
You know, on Tumblr, every time you say the word Tumblr, do you hear Borgyard singing in the back of your head?
No.
Okay, me neither.
Liar.
That was so not funny. I think we're done, son. In that case, then we'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Have yourselves a great week, everybody. Hey, you know what? If you haven't ever checked it out, now is a perfect time. If you're a football fan, catch the Canadian Football League Grey Cup next Sunday night. My Calgary Stampeders are in Ottawa to take on the Toronto Argonauts. Why are they in Ottawa? Because that's where the Grey Cup is being held this year. Next year, it'll be someplace else, but this year, it's Ottawa. Don't worry about it. Jesus. For our Canadian fans, you know why you won't hear from me next week.
And while you're in Ottawa, get some Impact Pizza.
Oh, is that... That'll be over by then.
It's already over.
Oh, there you go. So don't worry about it. You can't get any Impact Pizza anymore. But check out Pizza Pizza, because Pizza Pizza is, like, lousy in Ontario. It's like Little Caesars, but it's Pizza Pizza.
Sick of that.
And Bret Hart loves it. That said, catch you in 2 weeks, everybody. Have yourselves a good week. Bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.